阿弥陀，我的白衣奔腾 to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known。What did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown？
Well, greetings everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We're joining you live right now around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWCR, the transmitting Jewel of the South. We're coming to you live right tonight out of Nashville, Tennessee. At Sunday, we're looking at the 30th day of December, November. We're moving into December. And tonight's message, well, you don't want to miss it, and you certainly don't want to miss tomorrow night with Pastor Buddy on WWRB 3.185. I'll see you tomorrow night there at 9 p.m. 7 Central as we get into the second part of the tares and the wheat. We've started part one last Monday night on WWRB, and we will be doing part two on the judgment of the tares. You don't want to miss it, ladies and gentlemen, and you certainly don't want to miss tonight as we start a brand new, first time, three-part series. And by the time we get through with it, this three-hour presentation, we're going to show you the many deceptions that is noted among the Christian world, the Judeo-Christian church world, as they have taken a carnal mind and reaped a whirlwind of misunderstanding. We're going to straighten out the millennium. Is it going to be literal? Is it figuratively? Or is it a spiritual revelation? Well, we're going to look at all three of those aspects, ladies and gentlemen. And the literal part is that people believe that after the tribulation, that there is going to be a rapture, and with the rapture of the church, after the rapture comes the millennium. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong, and we're going to discuss the subject of the thousand-year reign of Christ, or what is known as the Golden Age. And the millennium is said to commence at the end of the Great Tribulation period, when the Messiah will return to earth to establish his earthly kingdom. Now, we're going to get into that. Is he literally going to reign upon the earth? Or is his reign figuratively? Or was it in a spiritual environment that the reign began? We're going to get into those aspects. You don't want to miss it, ladies and gentlemen, because for the first time here on WWCR, around the world, we're going to set the record straight of the great mystery of the millennium. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan, according to the Bible, will be bound for the duration of the millennium until the end, when he will be loosed once again to wage war against Christ and the saints of God. That's what the world is teaching, the church world. We're going to study and let the Bible be its own spokesman on the subject. The millennium teaching stems from Revelation in chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. But I'm not going to start there. I'm going to save that until the last part. as I look at the literal and the figuratively question, and then we'll get into the actual scriptures of this marvelous revelation that was given to me some 30-odd years ago when I was fasting. I prayed. I said, Father, I don't understand this. The great mystery of the thousand-year reign. Are you coming back to this planet after the way they treated you? Are you going to come back and give people a chance to repent? All those questions begged an answer in my spirit, and I humbled myself. And then I got a scripture revelation in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Let me read it to you. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, and neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a spiritual walk. The kingdom, if you're the son of Yahweh or the daughter of Yahweh, the kingdom dwells within you. And here the Christ said that the kingdom would not come with observation. Did you know that people are really standing and looking? They're looking in all the wrong places. Ladies and gentlemen, the best place to look for the Creator is within you. Now, if He's not within you, you must pray and fast. Turn your life over to Him and love Him with all of your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. This is a tremendous responsibility for every man to bear his own burden and to become sound on a foundation of principle with the gestalt of revelation and truth. Well, if you look at verse 20, Christ, who emphatically states that the kingdom of God will not come with observation. Now, the word observation carries with it the meaning of outward show or in a visible manner. So right at the outset of this study, our Messiah gives us a hint regarding the nature of the kingdom of God, that it is not visible. Now, let's let logic take over. If it is not visible, then it must be invisible. How do we verify if our conclusion is correct so that we will check it out? In verse 21, Christ states that the kingdom of God will neither be here nor there, which is a synonym for saying that it will not be a political kingdom. Everybody would like to be a political kingdom. His kingdom will not be established similar to that of a nation with a political rule. That's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. And as the Messiah continued to say that the kingdom is within you, the word within may also be only found in one other place in the New Testament, and that is Matthew chapter 23, verse 26. And I read, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Here the Messiah is making a specific distinction between the inside and the outside, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have it on the inside, I don't care how you pretend and how much you put on a show and a fair showing in the flesh, you cannot be part of the kingdom of God that comes without observation. You must be born not again. Now, the misconception is that we've got to be born again, and we have these blind, pharisaical, Judeo-Christians running to and fro, compassing land and water, making their converts 2-4 more the child of hell than they were to begin with, because they want an outward show with a kingdom that they can see. Ladies and gentlemen, he's making a distinction between the inside and the outside, showing you that you've got to have the right pathway within, not without. Now, most carnal-minded people are serving a unrealistic kingdom thought. That is that God is coming to set up a government on the earth, and that all the nations, the different peoples on the earth, will be subject to him. Well, that's not the way the Bible says, and we're going to show you. Let me show you in Romans chapter 9, verse 28. For he, Yahweh, in a flesh body, will finish the work, and he will cut it short in righteousness. In other words, the inside righteousness, not the outside. Because a short work will Yahweh make upon the earth. Now, if you go back to the original language, I'll show you how it opens up. This verse lies in the very middle of a quotation reference from Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. Also, verse 37 and verse 32. Or chapter 37 and verse 32. In Isaiah, let me read you in 10:22. We read that, though that there be many in national Israel, only a remnant of that nation will be saved. And the same verse teaches that there will be a destruction of national Israel. The political Israel, if you will. The visible kingdom. And now, ladies and gentlemen, although we have what is known as a nationalistic political system in the land that used to be the birthplace of the House of Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, we find in the Bible that the Israelites in 721 B.C., the majority of the House of Israel was deported, removed from the land, and as it is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, never to return. Now, the two houses that I've talked about in the future were split. The house of Judah, a remnant. Therefore, the Messiah rejected the nation because it desired a king to be like the other nations around about. And the rejection of him ruling from a spiritual throne, speaking through the prophets to walk by faith. Samuel was the first prophet in the book of Kings when the first king was chosen by the clamoring Israelites that refused to walk by faith as they clamored for a king to rule over them. Therefore, Yahweh gave them up to their vile affections, warning them that once they chose a physical king, that his spiritual kingdom would vanish, and that they would seek him, but they would not find him. Ladies and gentlemen, you must be born from above, not again. With the advent of Christianity, with a false understanding of the Bible, they declare that the nationalistic Israel will be reformatted, reset in a visible kingdom, and then we'll have what is known as the time of the construction of the third temple. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is erroneous. You are the temple, and God, Yahweh Almighty, does not dwell in a temple made with hands. And oh, how that we should get away from this carnal concept and understanding and get in line with Yahweh's holy word and quit rejecting the indwelling from above. Not again. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Everything you can chase, drag, and pull onto the church parking lot and bring it into the altar, we call it the bell box effect of a religion gone to Baal. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 27, it is recorded that they would be given up to vile affections and that they would call on a name that was not Yahweh's name. They would call on Baal, B-A-A-L, and by doing so, they have denied Yahweh. Yahweh is a spirit, according to St. John chapter 4, verse 24, and they that worship him must worship him not in a political or a nationalistic sense, but in a spiritual sense, ladies and gentlemen. He's looking for men and women that is not looking for a national, outward, physical kingdom to be established, and yet we've got Christians that are supporting the false assumption of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the sons of Satan. Have they transformed themselves into the people of God, according to Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9, and so then, they would deceive, ladies and gentlemen, it is so easy to deceive the blind sheep that wander without the true shepherds. They will cast the truth to the ground, and they will prosper and practice the illegal, physical, oh, they love to make a big show. Now we've got the TV evangelist that bring in at least 30,000 per service. And they got so many coming to these halls and altars of Baal to cry out and to dance and to prance and to pray and to prosper as they themselves cast the truth to the ground. They don't want the truth. You bring a prophet of Yahweh in among them to preach the spiritual revelation, and they will refuse him for a visible kingdom or something that seems right that they can tangibly take hold of, and they grab the horns of the altar of Baal, and they cast Yahweh and his prophets aside. They cast the truth to the ground, and they prosper. The Messiah rejected the nation of Israel, and in this rejection, except for a remnant, it will stand to the last day. In Isaiah 10, verse 23, Yahweh declares that destruction will be total and that the national Israel will cease to exist as a nation which was entrusted to send forth the gospel. But only a remnant will be chosen out of the ones called Israel. The nation will lose its favored status with Yahweh, and in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 32, listen to me well here tonight, as I begin to feel the great anointing of Yahweh as he wants me to declare the whole council outside the walls of the bellbox churches where I cannot and am not permitted to preach, but to preach to a people. Yahweh has given me a voice through the love of a people that have supported me on WWCR for many years, and now on WWRB, Clear Channel, around the world, that Yahweh speaks to his remnant of believers, which will be saved by the unction of the Holy Spirit within them, being born not again, and adding themselves to some physical church book, and having some preacher to give them a Christian card, ladies and gentlemen. But you will be added spiritually to the kingdom by being born from above, by the blood and by the grace of the righteous covenant, and Yahweh knows them that are his, and he will never let one hair of your head perish. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. If he's within you and you are called with a holy calling, the word finish means to complete entirely, ladies and gentlemen, and it's also translated in Romans 9:28 as ended. For in Matthew 7:28, it is said it would be fulfilled. So, this word, finish, means the meaning of an ending. It's an active verb with its active voice. It is finished. Ladies and gentlemen, the plan was an internal plan, not an external kingdom. He's not coming back to sit here on a physical throne. He's not coming back to sit in some stone building for you to come up and touch his hand or to kiss his ring. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the work of the Antichrist. They want Christ without, not the anointing, which the word Christ is anointed. So the anointing is within and not without. Unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you will never be able to finish the work that is started. Because listen to me well here tonight. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. Oh, how great thou art. And the song says, for Yahweh will come, and he will dwell in his people. The Bible says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, if any man have not Christ, he is none of God's chosen elect. So then, by the righteous genetic blood and the presence of the holy Shekinah, the wind bloweth and you see the effects. And as it is with the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, you know them because you shall know them by their fruits. And everyone that supports a physical kingdom or a place for Christ to sit on a stone throne will be thrown down. And the Bible says, woe unto them on whom these stones fall. What he meant was, if you don't have a spiritual revelation of the Mighty One dwelling within, ladies and gentlemen, you've never been to the cistern to drink. The Bible says that they have broken cisterns that can hold no water. They have a carnal concept. As long as they can see a crowd, as long as they can hear a physical song, as long as they can hear somebody shouting or somebody serving bread in the natural, They follow for the physical, material, fish in the loaves. But when it comes to the hard sayings that are within, when it comes to waiting for the inward universe to be formed in you until the mighty one is formed within you, Paul said, to grow up like calves in a stall, no longer needing the physical man to guide you, for the carnal mind or the physical mind is not subject to Yahweh, and neither indeed it can be. So then, finish. His work is finished. And blessed are those whose names are on the Lamb's book. Ladies and gentlemen, all he done was finish his work that he was called to do. Now your job is to look for him within, not from without. Don't place your faith in a big crowd. Don't place your faith when there's a lot of shouting, as there was when we find that Aaron built or made a physical golden calf. And the golden calf represented the age of Tyrus the bull. And they were literally worshiping the heavens and the hosts thereof, as they danced and they pranced and they performed these silly Pentecostal rituals without any truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you must have the word of truth within. My sheep will hear my voice, he said, and a stranger they will not follow. Ladies and gentlemen, the time of the covenant, which is commanded to 1,000 generations, and is written in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 15 through 17, it's a covenant that he made with Abraham and an oath to Isaac that through the seed of the woman would come the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, and of his government there would be no end. Not on the national scene, not in a physical realm, but it's a spiritual revelation. And if you miss it, you have missed everything that Yahweh hid from the wise and the prudent, because Yahweh chose the foolish things to confound the wise. You better get in the plan. You better not seek a crowd for a millennial reign here upon the earth. Everybody's waiting for God, Christ, to come back as the Son of God, to come back one more time and to sit in a temple made of stone, brick, or mortar, where the rich nobles and the kings of the earth will worship him. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible don't say that. It said he's coming back in a flame of fire. That is a spiritual revelation. And by the spirit of his mouth, he will destroy the enemy and all the kings and the earth and the captains and the chief men. He will feed their filthy flesh to the birds of the air. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? It means that the kingdom is within you. And so, is there going to be a millennial reign, Pastor Buddy? Well, let's find out if we can glean the principles on discerning between literal and figurative or spiritual. Notice here that the literal result always happens because of an action. Well, ladies and gentlemen, his work's done, finished. There's no more action. And so then, it cannot be a literal coming for him to sit on a throne somewhere and have all of the flesh people to come up and meet him and greet him like we understand a concept of understanding in a carnal nature that God's coming back to reign 1,000 years. Ladies and gentlemen, what would it do any good? If they won't hear the prophets, if they won't repent now, they won't repent then. If evil is on the earth when he comes back, and there has to be a choice between good and evil, man in his carnal mind will choose evil. And so then, don't look for a physical temple. It might be built, but it's only built to deceive the very elect. Satan is coming to sit in the temple according to 2 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul, the great mysterious writer of the New Testament, says that Satan will come and sit, physically sit. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's done come physically, and they did unto him as they did to the prophets before. They did unto him as they did unto Abel. As they killed him, they killed the Messiah, a type of Abel, the Son of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Why should he come? Would he be received by the wicked? The Bible said the wicked will be destroyed when he comes. But Satan is going to charge the wicked and recharge their batteries. All of the people of the earth whose names are not written in the book of life will come and worship him. The Bible says so, that Satan is coming into a physical form, and he's going to sit in the temple that has been built for him by the doctrine, the false doctrine that is, of those who proclaim a nationalistic Israel and Jerusalem, where the Bible describes where Yahweh was crucified as the city of Sodom. And you think for one moment that the Messiah, who was despised and hated by the wicked Edomites and the Canaanites, and those who said with their mouth that they loved him, but their works or their actions were far from him, the literal physical realm is no longer within the possibility of a invisible Yahweh becoming visible one more time for the effort to soothe or to please the flesh. He's done come. And they did unto him, evil entreated him, and said away with him. Well, you think he would be received in a more wicked generation? The most wicked generation since the beginning of time? Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe for one moment that the kings of the earth would accept the man from Galilee? I doubt it. But they will accept Satan in a physical form, sitting in a temple to deceive the very elect, even the elect, if it's possible. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that Yahweh is not coming to sit on a stone throne. He's coming for the secret coming that is within you. He's getting his sons and daughters together right now. And he's forming the spiritual kingdom within you. Yes, you have to live in a physical body. Yes, it's necessary to eat and to drink and to suffer hunger like he did. Yes, it's necessary for you to be tempted in all points as he was. And yes, it is necessary for you to endure the sorrows, because he himself was a man of sorrow. The world didn't receive him then. And ladies and gentlemen, the world has waxed more wicked than it was in the day he come 2,000 years ago. He lived 33 years by avoiding death at many times. If he came back in a physical form, ladies and gentlemen, the devil and his angels would try their best, if it was within their power, to kill him. But when he rose up, conquering death, hell, and the grave, in Matthew chapter 28, and verse 19, he said, "All power, all power, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Ladies and gentlemen, the powers that be upon this earth, the spiritual wickedness in high places, it is predestinated for Satan and his angels to take over where the false prophets and those that seem right, those that put on a show in the flesh, a fair show. And the more they style and profile, and the bigger their churches, the bigger the crowd gets. And all you hear is smooth speech and enticing words of man's wisdom. But when a prophet of Yahweh comes preaching the truth, telling you to tear down the altars of Baal because Yahweh doesn't dwell in a physical temple. He dwells not in a body that has been made by hand. He doesn't dwell in a temple made by hand. He dwells, ladies and gentlemen, in a spiritual realm where he wants you to come up and sup with him, because he thought it not robbery for you to be caught up together with him. That is in heavenly places. That's a spiritual revelation, not a physical, literal reign of a thousand years. So you better get it off of your mind that you're going to have sweet Jesus to come and sit upon some stone throne, and all the pomp and the glory and all of the rigor and all of the candlelighting and the masses said, as it said in these church and these bell bottoms. Ladies and gentlemen, I have never seen such idolatry. I have never seen such paganism. We are beginning to come in the biggest paganistic Christian time of December. The changing, ladies and gentlemen, of the winter solstice, where the celebration of the S-U-N, not the S-O-N, they are not celebrating the birth of Yahweh. They're celebrating the birth of the venereal S-U-N, not the S-O-N, because the S-O-N is a spirit. And unless he's in you, you haven't got the message. Unless he's in you, you have missed the gate. And unless you come to your senses, you'll never have the sweet Shekinah that dwells within. Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to give you the next phase of my message. Revelation 20 and verse 1. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." This verse focuses on the word key. Now listen to me. The word key. It is the Greek word keyes, and it's used only 6 times in the New Testament. All 6 times it is used as a figurative expression. The key, the keys, the keys. Luke chapter 11, verse 52, we have the key of knowledge. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you have taken away the keys of knowledge." It's a figurative, not a physical key, ladies and gentlemen. But the world would have you believe that they're going to build a building that's got a physical key to open up the door, and you're going to go in and bow before a physical Jesus as he sits on some stone throne, down in Jerusalem, where they are feverishly trying to build a temple for the coming Messiah. Their Messiah is the one that deceived the whole world. They worship the Messiah that is to come. The one we worship has done come. And he dwells within. His children are manifesting themselves, and the keys of knowledge has been given to them through fasting and through praying and through seeking and through a lot of torment, a lot of physical abuse, as we're hated and despised and cast out of the churches and hated for the great name that we've revelated here on WWCR, the great name of Yahweh, which the physical church has now banned the usage of Yahweh in their assembly or in their physical stone temples of brick and mortar and stained glass. It is against their rules to use the great and the magnificent and the mighty, glorious, all-powerful, revelated name that is hidden. I just got through doing the series of the hidden name in the mountains. Ladies and gentlemen, a tremendous response. People ordering the map of the picture of his name. They're now inquiring about the truth of where the Messiah was born. That we've been deceived by those who say they are Jews. That changed his natural birthplace from the birthright tribe of Joseph over to the tribe of Judah. Ladies and gentlemen, most of the tribe of Judah was miscegenated into the bloodline of the snake. As we read in Genesis chapter 46, verse 12 and verse 10, it is mentioned that the sons of Leah, Simeon and Judah, they took daughters and sons of the Canaanites. They bared the sons that went down for over 400 years and manifested a physical body of half Israelite and half Canaanite. And ladies and gentlemen, you either make the tree good and its fruit good, or you make the tree corrupt and the physical body corrupt. And so Satan, sowing the deceptive, flesh-minded, carnalistic seed of his own thinking, that he would exalt his throne above the spiritual throne of Yahweh. But the Bible said that this demonic fallen angel and all those who crave through the carnal mind to make a fair showing in the flesh, to build a physical temple for the God of heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, the first man that ever built a temple, when they clamored for a king, the second king that was given to them was David. The third king was Solomon. The fourth king was Rehoboam. And the true bloodline of our Messiah came through Nathan in Luke chapter 3, verse 31. And nothing is mentioned, as it is mentioned, that a Messiah will come from a tribe, that nothing would be mentioned, nor the royal lion tribe. It is a lion tribe, ladies and gentlemen, filled with Pharisees and Canaanites and half-blooded Israelites, to which Yahweh said, your father is the devil, John 8:44, and he was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. They killed the heir to the throne. They thought he was going to physically come and sit upon Herod's throne, and Herod the jealous Edomite sought to kill him, and by killing him, he played right into the hands of the mighty, the spiritual plan of the Almighty. Because this Messiah rose up in a spiritual manifested body. And therefore, when Christ comes back to you, He doesn't come in a physical form. Although many have been deceived by saying He would. And many are waiting for the thousand-year reign to repent and get right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get right now, you won't get right then. If you don't love Him now, you won't love Him then. If you don't serve Him now, you won't serve Him then. If you don't keep His commandments now, you won't do it then. I don't care if somebody raises from the dead, they won't believe it. Though a man raise Him from the dead, because we done had that, ladies and gentlemen. You look at the evil world. There is more deception in the bailbox churches. There is more pretending. There is more hypocritical things going on in the bailbox church than any time since the concept of worshiping a physical God that is going to come back at a later time in a city called Sodom and sit there to be physically admired. Ladies and gentlemen, no wonder Luke 11:52 says, "Beware of the scribes, for they take away the key of knowledge. They won't go in themselves and hinder them that would." They won't go in because they seek a fair show. They love long robes. Oh my, does that remind you of a church? A physical, glorious church that had in her cup the abominations and the filth of her doings. Ladies and gentlemen, no wonder the key of knowledge to the revelated spiritual saints. No wonder they're coming out of the bell boxes. No wonder it's happening today. Because of the great sacrifice of the prophets and the witnesses of Yahweh. For in Isaiah 43:10-11, He said, "You are my witnesses that I am Yahweh. Is there a God beside me? Yea, I know not any." And in Revelation 9:1, the key of a bottomless pit. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a figuratively expression that Satan and the carnal mind cannot enter the heaven. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the final scripture that I'll give you tonight is Revelation 20:1 that I just read. It's the key, again, of the bottomless pit where they bind Satan. Now, next Sunday night, on part two of the millennium, I'm going to get into the errant doctrine of a physical thousand-year reign. Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't going to happen, not with the true Christ. But it will happen, literally, with the false one. There is one that's going to come pretending he's God. He's going to sit in this physical temple, and many will be deceived. And Satan and his angels will offer chariot rides in a rapture setting. And many dumb, stupid Christians will get on board. Well, ladies and gentlemen, part one of our message tonight, the millennial. In part two, I'll discuss in the book of Revelation, where we take up in Revelation 9:1, the key of the bottomless pit, and in Revelation 20:1, the literal reign of Satan, not the spiritual reign of the Messiah. The Messiah is going to reign 1,000 years spiritually with His bride that He took out of the first resurrection. We're going to get into it and show you about the 144,000 and the 1,000-year reign. The bride, the spiritual bride, raised in the first resurrection, now taken her position as the mother of Israel and the father and the mother travailed, and they brought forth spiritual sons and daughters on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Shekinah, the Spirit, was poured within the temple of man. Not a physical temple. All the Jews down there, on the day of Pentecost, they were over in the physical temple selling doves, selling t-shirts, selling knickknacks, selling holy water. And ladies and gentlemen, they're still doing it today. We got these prophets run around and say they're the last day prophet and gather up with them. You better not. Could be a mistake, ladies and gentlemen. You better stay true to the inward kingdom principles and keep his commandments. What about the Sabbath day? They don't even know when it comes. They got a Gregorian falsehood. Satan has changed the truth of Yahweh into a lie, and they worship the carnal physical without, and it seems right to the flesh man. And oh, we got all of these solution or these problem solvers on radio. Oh, they'll give you the problems, but they'll never bring the solution. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get off here. My time has come and gone. I'd like for you tonight, if you would like to have part three, three-part series of the Millennial Kingdom, all you got to do is write Pastor Buddy and say, Pastor Buddy, send me the three-part series on the Millennium, and I'll be glad to send it. Now, for you that haven't ordered the five-part series that we just got through, The Secret on the Mountain, you can see his name written at Bethel. I'll send you his name, a picture written in square script, Hebrew, where he has his own name, the name that's been cast to the ground, the name that they won't preach. They'll give you a Greek, Latin God, but they won't give you this name that Pastor Buddy is preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call my sponsor tonight, Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Give him a call. Tell him Pastor Buddy sent you. We need your help. If you'd like to call my sponsor up in Michigan, Brother Paul, you can call him at 1-800-253-2748 for StemTech, a wonderful product. Miracle 2 and Vitamera. If you'd like to have these products, it helps us stay on air. And if you'd like to send me your love offering and your tithes, I'd be glad to receive it at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Let me give you a new website for Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to go online and go to our website, let me give you a new domain name that we have. OneYahweh.com. That's www.OneYahweh.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got loads of information. Thousands and thousands and thousands of things that are loaded onto the website. And soon, we're going to upload our messages on video. You can hear the messages of the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy around the world just simply by going to that website. That's OneYahweh.com. That's www.OneYahweh.com. You can also go there by going to CircleRoyal.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, now tomorrow night, join me live on WWRB for part two of the Judgment of the Tares. You don't want to miss it. I'm going to show you that these messages that I'm preaching tonight will intersect and connect with the message for tomorrow night. The destruction of the tares. The enemy destroyed. The physical enemy. The literal physical enemy of Satan. The seed of Satan. The literal seed of Satan. that dwells here upon earth and have turned the truth of Yahweh into a lie and have sent preachers all over the land to deceive the very elect. I'm going to be preaching on it tomorrow night, and you don't want to miss it on WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel, around the world, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me remind you of the times that we live in. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the time we live in is a time of trouble? And the Bible says it's a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. You need to get your heart right. You don't have to have a physical showing in the flesh. You don't have to go and bow before some physical flesh. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to get off here. We're going to tell you that Yahweh's coming soon to a neighborhood near you. That's within you, not without. Yahweh bless. I'll see you next Sunday night around the world on WWCR, Clear Channel, around the world. Keep us in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we need your prayers. Send your love and support to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. I'll see ya. Yahweh bless. Oh.